Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, and I want to wish my son happy birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, and he is 26. I can't believe it. You know, I still remember him like a little kid.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I look at pictures and stuff, and like 10 years ago, I mean, he was 16 years old.
Mm.
Now he's a man, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We are on Facebook Live because we have a guest in the studio, and that's what we usually do. You can go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook. You'll see us there and check it out. And you can follow us there. Otherwise, just stay on audio like you always do. And we love that as well. So a couple things I wanted to bring up is this Thursday we won't be here in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, because you have...
I have the sleep.
Yeah. I'm glad you're finally going.
Go, right?
It's about time.
Yeah, I know. I know. Mm-hmm. It's about time. And I'm in the quest for getting some good night rest.
Yeah.
You know, despite sleep apnea and stuff. And apparently it's very, very common, you know. I think most people that snore have it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't snore, so.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're young.
I know. Give me some time. Because I do have a deviated septum.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
And it's hard to breathe through your nose.
Mm.
No?
No.
Well, at night, if it's hard for the body to breathe, it goes to the mouth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I'm sick, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good. I got a text this morning
from
one of my coworkers. This is why I was like, I need to get my foot on the pedal for this. But she told me that she trained the new girl.
Uh-huh.
And then she told me what management said to the new girl.
About you.
About me. First of all, you can't be discussing other employees with anyone. That's illegal.
Wow. They're doing so many illegal things.
It's like it's just like insane to me.
I know. So this is for the best that they fired you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a very friendly person. So for me, I enjoyed the job. I didn't enjoy the environment.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But I enjoyed like meeting new people and talking every day. Like for me, the best part of going to work was socializing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But that's the thing is I think if you look at it, it's like a hostile environment to work in.
I knew from week two they wanted to get rid of me. So it's like every time I went in, I was like, is someone going to give me shit today?
Right. Like what's going to happen today? Is this the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I appreciate all the girls that are texting me and letting me know because they're just helping me out because they all know that they had no grounds to let me go.
Right.
But I mean, I appreciate it. I even told her today, I was like, thanks so much for letting me know. So I just had a phone interview with an assistant, but I have the actual real phone interview tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Good for you.
So hopefully he'll take it. He does like a bunch of celebrities and stuff like that. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we won't talk too much about it
because
then we'll have to scrap all the shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, nothing we said today will get in trouble. I mean, nothing I haven't said before. I'm suing y'all. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for all of you who have been listening, we have a millionaire in the making here. Although you're not going to do it for the money.
No.
But
I thought you were talking about her.
No.
I'm like, what are you doing, girl?
No. We got to punish those people.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like don't speak badly on my name. Like, that's crazy to me. Especially to know, why do you have to tell the new employee anything about me? Just hire her.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, well.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll keep this conversation going as much as we can because I'm sure there's a lot of things. Once you talk to a lawyer, they'll tell you don't do this, don't do that, don't say this, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the case.
So, yeah.
So you guys can just guess what's going on. It's not that important that the world knows what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to bring on our guest right now because she's sitting here patiently, and I'm excited to find out everything she has to say. We're joined by Michelle Lang. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. You're just so bright.
I was just going to say, very for the gloomy weather.
Exactly.
For the sunshine.
Yeah. Like morning colors, you know.
Morning colors.
And it looks beautiful on you.
Thank you.
So congratulations on that. Thank you for joining us. I found out that she's local here in LA, so that's good.
Yeah.
Many people have had to drive a long way to see us.
Yeah, like 2-3 hours.
The past couple
Crazy.
Weeks, right?
Yeah.
Like people came from Orange County, from San Diego. So we'll make it worthwhile for you while you're here.
Oh, great. Well, I mean, it could be 2 or 3 hours, depending on traffic, right?
Right.
I mean, anywhere in LA. Yeah, could be
yeah.
2 or 3 hours.
That's true, right?
Last night I drove because I thought I was going to pick up a dog, like rescue it.
Really?
All the way to Corona.
Wow.
Yeah, it took an hour and 45 minutes. And I came home, I came back with no dog.
No dog?
No dog?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Well, the whole story didn't add up. Like, my friend posted that her friend found a dog roaming the streets. And it was a French bulldog. And I've been wanting a French bulldog. And I was like, I'll take him, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, that's crazy because French bulldogs are like $7,000. Who would just like want to lose their dog, you know? So I asked questions. I'm like, is it home trained? Is it biting? Does it have balls, you know? So I go, it still has its balls, so it's not neutered. And I don't want a dog that's not neutered.
Right.
It's a puppy. I thought it was like an older dog, like 2 or 3. It's a puppy. It's teething. It's biting. It's pissing everywhere. I was like, I can't. In my life, I'm not set up for this.
That's cool.
Yeah. But then she called it by its first name on the way out. So I'm like, is this your dog? And you're just trying to get rid of it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She was like, come on, Bullet. I'm like, Bullet? What?
That's funny. Mm. So, okay, so you went to Corona. We talked about traffic and all that. Doesn't matter, anything. So the reason you're here today, Michelle, is you just released a book, a brand new book. What's it called?
It's called A Mermaid's Guide, Empower Your Child in Water and in Life.
So this is to make your child feel safe in water, any body of water, even in the bath.
Yes. Well, it's to do a couple things. So I've been teaching over 10 years. I've taught 10,000 swimming lessons. And what I've noticed in that process.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a long time, right? I basically live in the water a lot of my day. But what I noticed is a lot of children are scared of learning to swim. And as I was teaching and as I was researching, I'm trained by the American Red Cross, WSI, water certification. And I've taken a lot of child psychology classes. And I realized that a lot of what we teach our children doesn't focus on the mental and the spiritual almost aspects of learning to swim. In addition, a lot of the techniques and skills that we teach our children, I found highly ineffective with children. Like, for instance, we always tell our kids to blow bubbles. That's like the number, like blow bubbles.
In the
like
water?
Or
water?
Bubbles. Yeah, like blow mouth bubbles.
Right, right.
And as I was teaching children, what you discover is that if you blow bubbles, you're going to start to sink. So for an adult, that's okay because we're strong enough to pop up for a breath. But for a child who's just learning to swim, I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Now you're blowing out all of your air and you're sinking and you do not know how to pop up for a breath.
Wow.
So it becomes this whole chicken and the egg scenario. Parents are telling and teachers are telling their kids to blow bubbles. They're blowing bubbles and then they're sinking and they're getting scared.
Right.
So what I always tell my students is that your body's like a balloon. So you're going to take a big breath. And you have to keep your bubbles because your bubbles are what's making you float. And then if your child's having trouble with getting it up their nose or they're having trouble modulating that, which most children don't, they're very good at that. Adults kind of struggle with it, but children are quite good at modulating their breath. But if they are, you just tell them to hum, because when you hum, it makes the air go out slower.
Oh.
So as they hum, they can still maintain that flotation, that floating feeling in the water. And that's what you want to establish with your child.
Wow.
The fact that the water floats them.
So you think about all these things.
I think about all these things. Because
we don't think about these things, you know.
I don't even know how to swim.
Really?
I don't know how to swim.
Wow.
No.
So that's like a, you're missing out a lot,
right? Gotta
get
you in there.
No, my parents
put
me in like
a
kindergarten class when I was like in 8th grade. It was like all little babies and me and Gabby. And we were like, yeah, we're not going to do this. So.
Well, actually, you raise a good point because a lot of children, when they get older than a child, they have trouble going into those classes. And I've had a lot of parents reach out from all across the U.S. and saying, look, my child's 7 and they don't feel comfortable in these baby classes anymore. What can I do?
Right.
So that's another reason that I wrote A Mermaid's Guide, because really swimming isn't that complicated.
Right.
All you have to know is that you can hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
So for a grown-up, that's going to be a little harder than a child.
Right.
But just if you go in and you practice taking a big breath and gently humming,
right,
and let the water float you. That's phase one. Just float on your belly, not on your back, on your tummy.
Right.
So face down and float. Once you can do that, if you can float for 5 seconds, all you have to do is add your hands, push the water out of your way. Look where you're going, push the water out of your way. So it's very simple.
I know how to doggy paddle.
okay, well, hey, now you just need your breath, and then you're good, right?
So, okay, so Michelle, what you're saying is if I take a breath and I just kind of lie on the water, I will float?
If you are relaxed. So it's called relaxation-based swimming. But so you that's have what you do. That's what I do. So my method's called relaxation-based swimming. And you have to have this underlying trust with the water. You have to understand that the water, if you allow it to, will hold you up. You have to have that intrinsic trust in the water. And it will. But if you're tense and you're scared you're going to sink, it won't. It's almost like the water can feel your emotions.
Really? So Is that true?
Yes. It's a counterintuitive problem. So really? A lot like spinning on a patch of ice, you have to turn into the spin. It's exactly the opposite of what you would do.
Uh-huh.
Same with swimming. If you're scared in the pool, you need to calm your body down, slow down. You can't kick and scream and thrash. You're going to sink.
Right.
So you have to calm down and let the water float you. So take a big breath and relax. And everyone can flow.
And you have to be very still, right? I mean, when you're relaxed, yes. I would imagine.
But how do you take a breath underwater without choking?
Before you go in the water.
Well, that's your problem. You can't breathe underwater? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't think so.
I'm totally kidding.
I was like, I don't even remember the last time I was in a pool. Besides laying next to one.
She's going to tell you how to get confidence and you're going to learn how to swim. You're missing out on so much.
Not really. I don't really care to swim. It's not my thing.
No, but then you can go in the middle of the pool and feel that if you fall off the raft or something, you'll be safe.
The only reason I would want to learn how to swim is if I'm ever in a plane crash or something and I'm in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, I can at least swim to a float or something.
There you go. It's an important skill. Yeah. Or if you're on a cruise ship and you need to pitch off for some reason, right? And swim to safety.
Right.
Yeah. That happens a lot. But
I mean, cruise ships have had some debacles lately.
Yeah, but not a lot.
It's very rare. But for children, for an adult, you can say, I don't really want to know how to swim. But for children, what parents oftentimes don't realize, and what I didn't realize until I started looking into this and over 10 years ago, but 1 in 10 drownings happen in the bathtub. So even if you're a parent and you don't have a pool,
oh my God,
it's a shockingly high statistic. And so water education really starts at home in the bathtub. And a lot of the skills that I talk about in the book, you can teach your child in the bathtub.
How does a kid drown in a bathtub?
Kids can drown in 2 inches of water, an inch and a half of water. So they'll tip over and a young child doesn't know how to get themselves righted, or they panic and they just inhale the water.
Yeah, they breathe in, right?
I mean, but why has the parent left the room? That's crazy.
Well, they shouldn't leave the room. But a lot of parents have multiple children. So drowning's almost always preventable, but the scary thing is it can happen to anyone and it's silent. So if you think you get distracted doing something, think how many times in our day we just check something on our phone, or we get distracted, we get a phone call just for 30 seconds.
It takes no time at all. You go to the bathroom,
I have to use the restroom, or someone's at the door.
Right.
You know, no one's trying to have this happen to their children. And that's really what is so heartbreaking about it. And I wrote the book thinking, if I can just save one child, it will be worth the years of research that I put into this. Because it's just the most heartbreaking thing. Every time I hear a drowning statistic, I pull over and sob and then keep driving. It really breaks my heart.
This hasn't happened to you, right?
No, it hasn't happened to me. My kids are really good swimmers. Right. But even a child who can swim can have
an
accident. So even if your child can swim, you do need to watch them in the pool, obviously.
So it's not just the swimming. It's the relationship to water, right? And that's what you mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah, so the relationship with the water, just to have this idea that the water holds you up. So if you're just learning how to swim for adults or kids, the first thing is breath control. So you have to take a proper breath. I call it pufferfish. So you take a big breath in and keep your breath.
Right.
And gently hum. And front float, let the water hold you up.
But what do you mean by gently hum? Are you humming under the water or above the water?
Under the water if you're having trouble modulating that. Kids are pretty good at it. You can watch if you watch your kids swim. They're doing it properly. If you see little meniscus under their nose, little tiny bubbles coming out of their nose. Tiny.
Right.
Shouldn't be a big poof of bubbles. That means they need help. You got to scoop them up. But a little tiny bubbles. So you're going to hum under the water. And then when you need a breath, you simply push the water down, look up. Fill up your balloon back under the water.
Wow.
And for kids, they want to exhale and inhale up above the water. And as your body gets lazier, as our bodies do, to help survival, they get better at it. They'll start exhaling as they go up. As grown-ups, we kind of do that if we've been swimming for a long time.
Right.
You exhale as you come up.
So for a child who's just learning. Still when we're still in the water.
Yes, because you're timing it. You're timing that breath up. For a child who's just learning, they don't have that skill yet. So we can't teach them adult skills until they have child skills.
What do you think is an appropriate age for a child to start swimming lessons?
So you can start swimming lessons as young as 3 months older when your pediatrician says it's safe.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I would never early. At 3 months. Did they even have like proper necks then?
Yes, but you do have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
That is true. But they're not swimming at that age. You're just introducing them to the water.
Right.
You're
right.
introducing exactly. proper breath control. Right. That's all.
Yeah.
So you're introducing that in the bathtub. You can do 1, 2, 3 gentle trickle of water over their face.
Right.
Because you don't want them to lose this idea that water is natural. They have to know how to survive in that water. So if you always introduce that every time they take a bath or a shower, gentle trickle, 1, 2, 3 pour, then they're never going to get to the point where they're like, ah, water in my face. Ah. And they might at some point still resist it, even if you do every day, because the right. brain goes through those developments. Right. And you just gently say, look, we do 3 pours every time. Water goes in your eyes. Water goes out of your eyes. It's okay.
Yeah.
And if we're comfortable with it, they'll be comfortable with it.
I'm going to have to tell Gabby to put Marcellus in swim lessons because I think he loves the bath. But
how old is he now?
He's going to be 6 in January.
Yeah, you've waited already. She's waited too long, right?
I feel like that's long.
Because
I was literally just, when you were talking, I was like, wait, has Gabby ever told me about swim lessons? No. Like, he's in karate.
Right.
Great. He's going to be able to defend himself. But what if he's at a pool party that you're not at and something happens to him?
And that is the danger is, especially as your child gets older, people assume that they can swim. So I've seen kids push other kids into the pool not knowing that they don't know how to swim. And because it is silent. And then the other thing, I just had this parent tell me the story that about one of their children pitched into the pool and the other child, this was not a client of mine, it was on an airline.
Jumped in to save him?
No, the child didn't know how to react because the older brother was under the water and it doesn't look like it looks like in the movies. It just is silent and it looks like the child's just kind of doing some weird motions under the water. It doesn't, there's not screaming or splashing. And the little girl, I think she was 3, just started laughing and said, Daddy, Daddy, haha, what's he doing under there? And the parents got a little upset and I'm like, why are you laughing? He was drowning. But children don't know.
Yeah,
they don't know what that looks like.
Right? I mean, the kid's okay, though, right?
Yes, thank God.
Oh, my God. Jeez. I was like, wait, what's the end of the story here?
Yeah, well, thank God for the child who pointed it out to the dad, who had just turned around for a minute to watch the mom garden. Just turned around for a second.
For a
and it's
second.
Silent.
I feel like that's why people like need to have like a nanny on deck 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't even have your cell phone when you're watching my kids.
But even the nanny will, like, take a break or be distracted by something, you know?
Scary.
Can you imagine sitting there for 8 hours and watching the kid? Come on, you know?
So. And they do, but 88% of drownings happen when an adult is supervising them.
Right.
So usually a family member.
Yeah.
I couldn't live with myself.
Yeah.
No, it's so heartbreaking, but that's why I'm like, if I can just give parents the tools that they need to start with their children in the bathtub, because a lot of parents want their children to swim and they're trying and they've been taking swimming lessons for years, but I mean, in LA, it's very prevalent. There's a lot of really good swimming lessons. In other parts of the world, it's not as common to have really solid swim classes. So I've had people reach out to me and they're like, I've had my kid in since 6 months old. They still can't swim. I'm like, ah, here's why.
Because
you're probably telling them to blow bubbles and kick. And what they need to know is how to hold their breath and float. And once they can do that, so much easier.
Yeah, I do remember the one lesson that I did attend to. They do tell you to kick.
Yes, they tell you to kick right away.
Yeah. Like, as soon as you get under, start kicking your legs.
Right. And then they also teach freestyle. They're like, okay, do yours. I'm like, why? But no one's going to the Olympics. They can't even save themselves.
Yeah,
They just need to save themselves first.
Right.
And then we can do the butterfly.
Yeah.
Gotta get
that. And even at that, and then the backstroke, I'm like, when am I ever going to use this ever in life?
No, it's just that breath control. They should have just taught you. It's so simple. When I teach a new student, really the first lesson, all I'm working on is breath control.
Yeah.
1 second under the water.
Right.
I just tell them to take 1 second, 1 second under the water. Then the next lesson, 2 seconds under the water. Next lesson, 3 seconds under the water. Sometimes for older kids, I can get through all of this in one lesson, but if you have a child who's new to swimming, just 1 second under the water. Just do that 5 times. Do that 3 times a week. You're going to notice a huge difference. It's not that complicated. We all can do it.
Right.
We just need the simple tools to know how
exactly.
to do it.
Exactly. We need awareness about this. You know?
We need awareness. And also, I hear a lot of awareness about it, which is great. The problem, the challenge, rather, with that is, what is the fix? So that's why I wrote the book. I'm like, here is the fix.
Right.
The awareness is great. It's one part of it.
Right.
But what can we do to solve the problem? And we can solve it starting in the bathtub.
Right.
And if anyone listening is interested, I have bathtub exercises. And if you email me, assist@relaxationbasedlifestyle.com, I will email you that video so you can start teaching your child today in the tub.
Right. So relaxation-based swimming, also RBL or even REBEL, right? That's how you pronounce it?
Yes, it's pronounced REBEL.
Right. So, yeah, so I understand. I mean, the name says it all. You have to relax. You know, you don't go crazy in the water. You have to relax. How did you arrive at this? I mean, obviously you said you've researched this. You've worked with this for a long time. How did you become interested in this in the first place?
Well, my mom taught me to swim in London when I was one, when I was a tiny, tiny baby. And she's a child psychologist, and I used to travel around with her teaching teachers how to teach. So I come from, my grandmother was a teacher. So I come from a long line of teachers. I grew up working with kids.
Right.
So that part was already in place. The swimming, I was a childhood competitive swimmer. I trained in Colorado Springs at a really famous training ground there. So I was a really good swimmer as a kid. And then as I grew up, I went to Northwestern University and didn't swim in college. But when I moved to LA, my now husband, my just a guy I knew at the time, was teaching swim lessons out here. And he was like, well,
we can. So how y'all met?
No, well, kind of. I was a little random side note, but I was training women at Curves, that gym for women.
Uh-huh.
And I broke up with my boyfriend from Northwestern, and one of the ladies there, Judy, I don't know if I should say her last name, but we love her. My husband was teaching her grandkids how to swim.
And
she was like, I've got the guy for you.
Oh, wow. So you fixed up.
Yeah. So we went on a blind date.
Yeah. So it wasn't like she was his
student. Yeah.
No. He wasn't teaching me swimming.
That's romantic.
Yeah. So romantic and float. So he asked me if I wanted to teach. So I started teaching. And I just, as I went through the years, I just kept trying. He and I always have romantic dinners where we talk about like kickies and bubbles and how do we get a kid to do this?
Oh,
kid can't do this. What's a fix for this? Like we would for years and we still do. We have these conversations and between the two of us, we have seen every sort of child come into the pool. And the book, I've gotten to the point that I can meet your child and I can get them in the pool and I can tell you exactly how the lessons are going to go. And there's charts in the book to show you. But especially for parents who have strong-willed child, a strong-willed child who is non-favorable to the water. So a strong-willed child.
That's like my nephew.
Doesn't like the water.
He likes the bathtub, but like they have like a mini pool in the back, just like the blow-up pool.
Yeah.
And he hates getting into it.
Yeah,
hates it.
For a child who is strong-willed like that, you're going to have, I call them progression hurdles at the beginning. Right. So you're going to have this progression hurdle as they overcome that initial fear. But it's really just if I guide them in a really gentle, nurturing way, what happens is they become empowered by the challenge. Like kids love it. Even if there's a little bit of resistance at the beginning, it's new, it's hard. I just say, it's okay that it's hard. Things in life are hard.
Right.
I will help you. I will show you how to do it. And then as soon as the lesson's over, they're like, what? Where's Teacher Michelle? Like, they love it because it's a challenge.
Yeah,
we allow
our
children to not be protected from every challenge in life, but instead say, I'm going to help you through this challenge. Here's how you handle a challenge.
Right.
Here's how we harness our emotions. Here's what we do with a hard problem. We solve it in a peaceful way.
Right.
Here's how you do that. So I give the children the tools that then that's where the water and in life comes on.
Right.
Take those into life, into every aspect of life.
So so now you're the teacher. I mean, it's not like you hire other people and you just kind of run a company, right?
Or no, I mean, I do have a couple teachers who teach that I've trained that will go out and teach swimming lessons for me, which is great. Just because I can
you
only
can't
reach
be
so
everywhere.
Many. I can't.
Yeah.
Which is also why I felt the book was important, because a lot of people, I can't teach their children. And there's...
Exactly. In the book, it's great. I mean, there's like pictures of babies and how to teach them and so forth. And it's just an amazing book. You know, I mean, you cover everything here. And I would imagine, if nothing else, it'll give parents a lot of confidence in their child's ability to learn how to swim.
Yes, and that you just touched, that's a huge part of it. So even if parents don't want to teach their children themselves, they're like, I don't really want to get in the pool in my bikini. That's not fun. Even if they don't want to do that themselves, hopefully by reading the book, they'll get a sense of peace about how the water works. And if they understand what they should tell their kids versus accidentally giving them their kids' bad water habits, now the child's going to have an easier time. So even if a parent doesn't want to teach them their child themselves, if they read the book, they're going to understand the way the water works. They're going to be able to avoid telling their child wrong things. And the child's going to, in turn, feel much calmer around the water.
Right.
So we understand how you got into it, but how did your husband get into it?
My husband got into it from another swim teacher, Giovanna Schoen, who now lives in New York, and she was out here teaching, and she still teaches in New York. So if anyone needs a teacher in New York, you can check her out. She's great.
What's her name again?
Giovanna Schoen. I think she might, this is a little sorry, Carrie. I think she goes by Carrie now, but out here she went by Giovanna, which is, I think, her middle name.
Okay.
But it's Splish Splash Swimming, and she's in New York, and she's a great teacher. So my husband worked with her for 4 years, and then he branched off, and then he brought me into it.
So it goes from one person to another, and that interest is there.
Yes, but a little bit, same philosophy as far as, I didn't ever train under her, but my husband did, and all the techniques are specific to relaxation-based swimming. So they're different techniques. She has her own program, which is very specific to what she teaches. My program is very different, but along the same line of empowering your child in water and teaching them, you know, a proper relationship with the water.
Right. Now, what were you doing before all this, before you decided to make the change? I'm sure a change in your career, because apparently, did you decide from day one, I'm going to like actually do this for people for a living, or?
No, what? I mean, I studied acting and business at Northwestern, and I came out here, and I still do, because swimming, I do it for 6 months out of the year, and then the other 6 months, I run the company. So relaxation-based lifestyle has a few different branches. So we have Rebel Publishing that put out this book, and we have Rebel Fitness, which the swimming falls under, and then we have Rebel Studios, and Rebel Studios makes films and television shows.
Mm.
So we just went to the Austin Television Festival with a TV show that I produced called Everyone Is Doing Great with James Lafferty, Stephen Coletti, and Alexandra Park from the Royals. So we do, my husband also writes and directs feature films. You can check them out on Netflix. Like, so we'll run that company. We run the film and television side in the winter, and then we teach swimming lessons in the summer. And it's really funny.
What a power team.
Yeah.
Sometimes we run into our clients, like, who have been in films and television. Like, we teach them swim lessons. We show up and they're like, hey. And I'm like, hey. They're like, this is okay. And I'm like, I know. Hello.
Yeah, that's good.
The crossing of the world.
Yeah.
So I would imagine your kids are, they like the water a lot, like their mom and dad.
Yes. My daughter could swim across the pool with breasts at 19 months old.
Really?
Wow.
Properly, not flipping on the back, just swimming like a little mini human.
So now the go-to style is breaststroke, right? For as far as this is how they learn. This would, you know, like you said, no butterfly in the beginning.
Right. Doing butterfly. No, I mean, it's a little odd. I mean, really, strokes are made up. We made those up. Those are not naturally how we swim.
Right.
Bodies swim differently. And I'm not concerned when I teach a child whether they're doing perfect breaststroke arms. But I do use that as the essential reach, thumbs in the water, and push. So just reach and push, reach and push. Some kids go like this originally. It's okay. The body will naturally figure out how they want to swim. We encourage this kind of arm because if they can do that kind of arm, it's going to make it easier for them to pop up for breaths. It's really about that. It's not so much that I want them to be Michael Phelps.
Right.
I mean, I do, but not yet.
Are they first supposed to be kicking their feet?
And then, we use flutter kicks.
Yeah.
So it's a weird mix. So we do breaststroke arms and flutter kicks. That's going to be the easiest way to get your child swimming. If you're focused on trying to get them to do perfect whip kicks or perfect frog kicks before they can properly swim, it's going to be much harder.
Really? Oh, very
much harder. Because those kicks are a little complicated.
Right.
But the good thing is, once your child understands that the water holds them up, how to push the water out of the way, and how to take breaths, strokes, you can add them in a hot second.
Wow.
They're so easy.
Wow. Very cool. You see, it's stuff we don't think about every day, you know, but for you, it's a way of life.
Yes. It's all day, every day, a lot of, I'm going to get done here and I have to go pop in and do 15 swim lessons.
Really?
Yeah. Your makeup's done.
I know. I'm going to look so pretty in the pool. They're going to be like, who is this swim teacher with some makeup on? And then the kids are going to splash me in the face and I'll get out and I'll have it like
mascara
all running
everywhere. Yeah.
Sometimes I do pop out of the pool and I look in the mirror. I'm like,
Well,
that's an interesting look.
Yeah.
Because even sometimes when you shower and you think you got all your makeup off and you get out and like the mascara and the eyeliner is like running down your face, it's like, okay, I guess I missed a few spots.
Missed a few spots.
So now 15, how long would it take you to do all those?
I teach 20-minute private lessons.
Uh-huh.
So in this case, I do exclusives. So exclusives are where I come to your pool for just your child. Those are 20 minutes and I come. I mean, it depends on the child. Sometimes they run a little longer. So for me this afternoon, I have three at one pool, three 20-minute lessons, and then I have an immersion in another pool. So
what's an immersion?
So an immersion is where we do a bunch of lessons back to back. So this is one of my favorite things. That it's a four-day immersion. So I have six students. And they all go twice in the afternoon. So they're going to cycle around. And because it's relaxation-based swimming, they don't get tired. They just need a mental break.
Right.
So they have six kids. They all hang out. We rotate them
this
around.
This family has six kids?
No, all different families.
Oh,
that
okay.
would be a lot of kids.
But you're doing it at the same pool?
At the same pool.
Oh, okay.
So I stay in the water and the kids cycle around. And, I mean, it's really transformative. They start scared and by the end they're swimming. And it's amazing. 4 days.
Really?
And I started doing that because when I travel with clients, I have clients that fly me to London, to the Hamptons, to New York.
Jeez.
And I noticed that when I travel with those clients, I would do 2 lessons a day. And how effective that was. And I was like, well, why am I not doing that in LA?
Right.
This is amazing. Because I used to do it 1 lesson over, 8 lessons over 8 days.
Right.
But I just started.
So like one lesson a day.
One lesson a day.
Yeah.
But because of those travels, I discovered this new way to do it. And it is awesome. It's so fun.
Yeah, like you accelerate it pretty much, you know. It
becomes so much.
Part. I mean, if you go twice a day, you're definitely immersed in it. You know, it's like. You know, one time maybe in the morning, the second in the afternoon or something. Right.
Well, mine even, they just have, as long as they have an hour break.
Because, and just an hour break.
As long, I mean, sometimes it's 2 hours in the
What do they do in the hour?
They just play, hang out with their buddies. It's like a little play date. It's cute.
Yeah.
The moms hang out and have dinner and chat.
Wow, cool.
But even if they have just a mental break, because it's all about relaxing,
right.
They're not tired when they come in with me. They're relaxing. It's almost like a meditation, really.
Right.
Right. Now, I would imagine sometimes you run into parents that don't know how to swim, right?
I do. Yeah.
That would be me.
So, do you teach the parents too alongside the kids?
Right? I mean, I don't usually do them concurrently, but yes, right. I mean, I have parents that will pop in and take swimming lessons.
Right. And so your approach is different when it's little kids and when it's adults.
The three phases that are detailed in the book are the same. So there's three phases to swimming. The first is floats, glides, submersions. We already talked about that one. Swimming with intention. So that's knowing how to push the water out of your way. That's simply adding kicks and arms.
Uh-huh.
The second part of that is swimming with intention. So for a child, having a brain and body connection and being able to move from point A to point B in a circle, jump in, turn, get back to the wall, and knowing how much breath they have so they can get to safety.
Right.
So that child who can swim with intention is safer in the pool because they not only will pitch off the step, but they know, oh, okay, I have this many seconds to get back. And that's really where the breath control comes in.
Right.
So your child has as long to get to safety as their breath control stays in place. So
right.
a child who blows out their mouth bubbles only has 2 or 3 seconds before it becomes an emergency situation. A child who holds their breath, on the other hand, can hold their breath quite a long time if they've been given the proper exercises to expand their breath out. I have some students who don't need a breath all the way across the pool. Now, don't start there. Let's not try for that.
Yeah.
But as they've practiced, as the child has practiced, their intercostals, their lungs have expanded. They can hold their breath. Now that child has a much longer chance of saving themselves.
Yeah.
So
don't you think, though, sometimes if it's easy to practice that, but then when someone is actually in an emergency situation, they'll just panic?
Yeah, so that's the fourth phase, but it's called the push through.
Right.
And I do work on that with children. You have to be careful when you're doing it because I'm watching for if they're drinking the water, do they truly need help?
Right.
If it feels like it's just a mental glitch, they're panicked, I do gently guide them through that.
Right.
And I help them learn how to override that panic. And it can't be something that you talk about. The only way, because the amygdala and the cerebral cortex don't communicate in a two-way communication. The amygdala, which is your panic, only can talk one way. The logic center of your brain cannot talk to your amygdala. So you can logically say, I should not panic in this situation, but it's not going to help.
Right.
The only way to do that is to experience it.
Yeah.
So once they can swim with intention, and the third phase is popping up for breaths. Once they can do those three, I work on exactly what you're talking about, the push through. So that's if they catch a mouthful of water. Can they recover? You want your child to be able to work through those problems because, God forbid, they're at a pool party someday and some kid kicks them in the face and they get scared.
Yeah.
But, again, for people who are listening, you have to do that very carefully and make sure your child does actually, you know, can get through it versus does, you know, they need help. You need to scoop them up. So there are 4 scoop signs in the book that I talk about that you can look for with your child to know. As I've done this for so long, I can tell. I can tell when it's just the brain glitching versus the body actually needing help.
Right. I feel like I'd be like the one in panic mode.
Panic mode all the time.
I know to calm down, but I'd be freaking out.
Right. So you would just need someone to coach you through it.
Right.
And the only way, it's same with people who are afraid of anything, afraid of dogs. The only way to get through that fear is to be introduced to them and keep trying to overcome
them. Right. I can't believe anyone would be scared of dogs. But I remember one time I went to a party and I liked this boy. So I pretended to drown in the pool and I actually ended up drowning, like almost drowning. So like three people had to save me. Yeah. And I was like, that's it. That backfired.
She was crazy early on in her life.
That's not good.
I jumped right in the deep end. Like that was a smart move.
I think you watch too many movies where they're like, you know, the girl jumps in and pretends and the lifeguard comes and gives them mouth to mouth. It's like, don't do that. Exactly. That's not a good idea.
Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the moral of this story.
Yeah.
So you're quite an expert on all this, and I would imagine there's a huge market for people that want to expose their kids to this kind of training, you know, and lessons and stuff. So tell people if they want to contact you and use your services. Where are you? How can people get a hold of you? Do you have like a website or a way to book people?
Sure. So people, so relaxation-based lifestyle. For the swim lessons, swimyogi.com for the swim lessons. I need to update that one to have the book because a lot of what I'm transitioning into, I still do teach a ton, obviously. But what I'd love to do, it's like that you know, the old saying, if you can give someone, I'm going to mess this saying up, the fishing pole with fish, teach them to fish, don't give them the fish.
Right, teach them how to fish rather than to feed them.
No clue.
Yeah. So I would rather give parents, I mean, I still love to teach, so I can still do that for sure, but I'm not going to be with you on vacation when your child needs a refresher or every summer I have to reintroduce my child to the water. So I'd love parents to be able to have the tools to be able to refresh their children, to get their child back floating. And it's so important, but it's quite simple. If you know how to do that properly and you can practice it in your tub, you can have your child take a deep breath and then put their face in the tub. Don't put soap in there. You don't want, you know, soapy in the eyes.
When they put their face in the tub, are they laying on their bellies or are they up?
So belly. So they can't be 3 months old for this. They need proper neck control. Right, so they have to be old enough, year and a half, to control their bodies, make sure that they can control their neck motions.
Right.
They can practice floating in the tub, front floating. Mm-hmm. Just let the water float them. Just practice. And then when you get in the pool, it's the same thing. It's floaty magic. Yeah. So anyway, you can find that on there. They can follow at B_A_RBL. So be a rebel, but B_A_RBL or at the Michelle Lang.
Right. Or just Google it. You'll find it everywhere, you know?
Yes. And I'm going to be at, if anyone has more questions, you can bring your cell phones and show me a video of your kid swimming and I will tell you what is going on, what you need to do, what page you should read. But I'm at the Barnes & Noble on Monday, June 24th at 7 p.m. doing a book signing and discussion. So if anyone wants
to come. That's exciting.
Yes, I know. I'm so excited about that one.
Yeah, because you get to see your readers and, you know, and people that want to, that are interested in what you have to say.
Yes, and I'd love to help. Like if someone has a video, I can say, your kid needs this. Oh, that kid, here's what's wrong. Here's what he needs. You know, because I can look at a child and say, oh, your kid's a jellyfish swimmer. That just means they're excited and they're not focusing.
Right.
Here's a really simple exercise. Place your hands down. Have your child try and get your hands under the water at a 45-degree angle because they need to use their eyes to look where they're going. They need to be able to focus and lock that in. So I'll be able to watch a video. So bring your videos if you want to. I'll watch them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds great to me. The book is A Mermaid's Guide, Empower Your Child in Water and in Life. The author is Michelle Lang. Did you grow up here in L.A.?
No, I grew up. I was born in Utah, then moved to London, and then to Colorado, then Wisconsin, went to school in Chicago, and then I moved out here.
Wow.
Jeez.
How'd you end up in London? What was the...
My dad works. He's a chief financial officer for computer companies and other companies. Uh-huh. So he moved around for work, so we just... Followed around.
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have three sisters.
Three sisters?
Yeah.
So it's four girls that he had. Mm-hmm. CEO of big companies. Wow.
Yes, he moved us. That's a lot. He moved around to Bet. And,
are your sisters in LA too?
No, one's in San Fran and then the others are still in the Midwest. One's a really good tennis pro and the other one's an amazing teacher. Also, see? Teacher.
Yeah,
it's in the family, I guess.
In the family.
And what was your mom doing? She took care of all of you.
Yes, but she was also a really amazing entrepreneur. Like, she never sat still. Like, she teaches piano now, but she also taught dance, you know, she would teach teachers how to teach at conferences. I would go with her to teach teachers how to teach.
Wow.
So she was a, you know, before kind of entrepreneurial women were quite as hot.
Right.
I mean, she was doing it. She wasn't calling it that. But I spent a lot of years folding brochures for her and, you know, helping with registration for camps. You know, she really does a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So you guys feel that, you see, it's like in the family. It's in the genes,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You want to show people. You want to help them. You want to teach them. And it's really cool, you know? I mean, you must get a lot of satisfaction from that.
It's great to know that a child can go from a place of fear or even just not knowing how to swim to empowering them. My favorite part is empowering them with the swimming knowledge, but not only the swimming knowledge, the tips that they can take with them for the rest of their life. You know, I mean, how great if every child knew that they were understood and, you know, they're... sad emotions are not a bad thing. A lot of times as parents, we want to fix the problem. If a child doesn't want to go in the pool and they're crying, we want to be like, no, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And whereas I say, I know it's hard. It's okay. It's hard.
Right, right.
And it's okay to be nervous. I'm going to help you. Like to know that. And then once they feel understood, children are far more willing to cooperate. And they're like, I want to get out. I want to get out. There's five golden rules in the book, but one of them is mirror and agree. So I'll be like, yeah, you want to get out? I want to get out too. Okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, and then we'll get out. And they're like, okay, I'm going to get what I want. I just have to do this, this, and this.
Right,
and
if
you
right.
give them clear right. things to do, and if they feel like they're listened to and understood and that their emotions aren't wrong, but here's how you channel those emotions. And I love both of those aspects. So it's like survival in the water. Here are skills that you need to survive in life. I mean, how great if everyone knew how to disagree nicely in the world and what to do with their anger and frustrations, how to channel that in a peaceful and powerful way instead of, you know, kicking someone in the face.
So it's more than just swimming, really. I mean, you really gain confidence knowing that you conquered something that maybe you were anxious to do before.
Mm-hmm.
And that teaches you about life.
It teaches you about life so much. Like within swimming, that's one big hurdle. But in every single lesson... there are little hurdles. There's an opportunity to create this positive mental loop with this try, fail, try again, fail, try again, succeed.
And children need that.
Children need that because the more they can create this positive mental loop that when you keep trying, you succeed. And in swimming lessons, there's so much opportunity for that. And it's such a microcosm for life because it's literally life or death. So everything gets magnified. Everything that we do with our children in the pool is magnified because of that life or death element.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. So are you going to go swimming now or what are you going to do? Listen, what happens if
you can doggy paddle?
Let's say, you can keep yourself afloat.
I just can't hold my breath for long periods of time. Like even when I'm in the shower, sometimes I'll hold my breath to test myself. It's like no more than like 5-6 seconds.
That's okay. That's
I feel like I'm about
to start
gasping.
You can expand that. Yeah. Just take a big breath. And hold.
I'm more concerned about my nephew. I'd rather him learn how to swim.
Yeah, but no, I mean, what if
then what if he jumps in and then I have to jump in to save him? It's like, I don't know how to swim.
Exactly. And what if you get pushed into a pool or something?
That's never happening.
Well, what if
I would never put myself in a situation where someone would push me in a
pool.
What if that cute boy who you try to impress?
Never again. I don't care about impressing any men anymore.
He sees you later and throws you in.
She's over there.
I'm over impressing any type of man on this planet. So when can people watch your show? Because you got to promote that too since you're here.
Oh, hey now. So everyone's doing great. We are in post-production. We shot an entire season. So I don't know.
Is this season one?
Season one. It's all in the can.
That's very nice. How many episodes is that?
8 episodes.
First season's usually 8.
Yeah?
Very
nice. Well, congratulations to you. We'd like
it's
to
scripted.
See that succeed.
It's scripted? Well, it's kind of like an improv script mix. So we go in with a treatment. And, you know, the actors pull in and they get to improv and play. And then James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti are editing right now. So they created the show. I come on. I mean, and people ask, well, how does that connect to relaxation-based lifestyle? And honestly, what I do when I produce is a lot of what I do in the pool, I just bring calm in a situation that's not usually very calm.
Yeah, production is not calm.
But it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it is so stressful, but I've produced numerous films over the years. And
Have you done Lifetime movies?
I have not done Lifetime movies.
Really?
No. Yeah. Do I look like I should be in a Lifetime movie?
You look like you've been in a couple Lifetime movies. Like, I feel like I've seen you on the screen before. Have you acted? No?
Yeah, I do. I do act.
Okay.
So I've been in movies.
Okay. Because I feel like I've seen you before on the screen.
Yeah, my husband did Small Town Crime that just came out with Octavia Spencer, John Hawkes, Anthony Anderson.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. That one's our most recent one.
Is it a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yes, and I'm in this big series called The Legend of Bruce Lee, and I play Bruce Lee's wife. So that's around, too.
Well,
that was a couple
years
ago. Yeah, I mean, the cool thing is, like, I do swimming in the 6 months, right. And then I have 6 months to run, you know, the other side
all
of the company
other
with the studios.
You wanna do, yeah.
So, and really, it's all the same. It's just helping people feel comfortable, making sure I have a kindness first set mm-hmm. in an industry that's not usually that way. And same right. with the swimming pool. The swimming pool is usually kind of scary for a lot of kids. How do we make everything like we're vacationing on the inside? That's really the goal of relaxation-based right. lifestyle.
Yeah, I
like
right. do that feeling, with myself right,
right
now.
Yes, like even in that turmoil,
right?
How do we find the relaxation? And the reason the company started and was like that is I was training for my black belt. My black belt test in wushu, and I was struggling.
Jeez, is there anything you don't do, lady?
Well, there's a lot of time. I've been out in LA for a while. There's a lot of hours in the day. Yeah. I don't usually sit down very much. That I don't do.
Right. I was going to ask you, how many hours do you spend in the water every day?
Between 6 and 8.
So doesn't that do anything to your skin, to
yes,
the body?
Yes, actually. Yesterday, I had a pool that was a little bit strong in the chemicals. A lot of the times the pools that I teach in are very mild because mm-hmm. they're private pools.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they were public pools, the chemicals would be a much, much higher and it'd probably hurt my skin more. But these are private pools. Right. So most of the time it's fine.
And water by itself doesn't do anything to the skin, right? Like, I mean, it shrivels up.
So.
It shrivels up and
I mean,
all
that's
that,
like,
right?
Just because you get like prune, like when you stay in the shower too long, your
right.
fingers turn pruney.
Right. So maybe the rest of the body, maybe it does something to the skin. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I feel like water would be good for your skin.
Yes, I mean, it is probably not great that I'm in chlorine or saltwater pool that often.
Right.
But I figure Olympic athletes do it all the time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say I've had two babies, and while I was having the babies, I was teaching, and I feel like I didn't get any stretch marks because my skin was always wet.
Oh, my God.
You know, wet and supple.
Yeah.
So I could expand. You know, yeah. There was no craziness.
Right.
As far as that goes.
Well, you definitely should be happy for your jeans and thankful
mm-hmm.
because, and I'm not talking your pants. I'm talking about jeans that come from family where people all like to teach, and you're talented and very ambitious, you know, and very inspirational, and I like that, you know. I mean, you go after what you like
mm-hmm.
and you make the best of it, you know, and I think you developed the system that you mentioned about relaxing and everything. That's an amazing thing, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm going to finish that midpoint story just
oh,
on that
okay.
black belt thing. I got
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I was doing this pose, and you have to do all of the forms all at once. You have to go through like 3 hours of these hard forms. And as I was in this like strange pose, I was asking my coach, I'm like, I get really tired. And he's like, well, you have to find the resting in these hard poses, like these poses that you're frozen in that are crazy and hard on your body. You have to be able to find relaxation within those. He didn't use those exact words. I'm putting that into his mouth. But so this idea that even when you're doing a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
stress helps 0% of the time, 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So I try, and it's not a perfect science, but I really try and say, look, I don't need to feel that. And I just got really practiced not feeling any stress in the pool because I cannot feel any stress in the pool or else the child will feel stressed.
Right.
So I became very good at exercising this muscle of I literally am just a clear channel, and whatever comes in, whatever goes out, it flows through me.
Right.
And now I've tried to, with relaxation-based lifestyle, pull that into everyday life. How do
right.
we do that in every aspect
right,
of our life?
Right.
And you know what strikes me is how she's pretty hyper here, and yet she's talking about being relaxed and calm.
No,
and
I feel like you've been
you
relaxed
know?
This whole time.
No, I mean, she's relaxed, but she's also like, you got
active.
A lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. My aunt, when I told her about relaxation-based lifestyle, she laughed and she was like,
yeah,
you are the
you.
Most unrelaxing person ever because I run around
right.
and do 100 things.
Right.
And I told her, I'm like, relaxation doesn't mean I'm on the couch kicking it within a cabana. I feel relaxed personally when I'm doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But how I feel on the inside is really at peace when I'm doing it. So I can
yeah.
have energy and still be relaxed within.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference there. So relaxation and relaxation-based lifestyle isn't about, you know, chilling and just, you know, hanging on the sofa
right.
and not doing anything. It's about
right.
doing everything relaxed on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you don't get tired. Same as swimming. You can't swim like this, you know, panicked. You got to
right.
swim relaxed. And you're still moving. You're still getting exercise. But you have to be relaxed with it.
Yeah. A Mermaid's Guide, everybody. Here, I'm holding it up to the camera. But get the book. It's, you know what I like also about it? It's all professionally you know, the cover is awesome. I like the way it feels. You know, I'm a book person.
Yeah,
you know?
He likes the feel of new books.
I like to feel them. I like to smell them. Things like that, because new books are amazing to me.
I love new books too.
Do you?
Yes, I'm amazing. A big book person. So right.
At least in our generation.
Is this your first book?
This is my first book. Mm. Yes, but it has cracked open a whole slew. We have a couple more coming out called, the next one's called Where the Sanity Ends for Parents with Toddlers. It's a parody of Jill Silverstein, yeah. Where the Sidewalk Ends. And it's a bunch of like poems about picking Parmesan cheese out of the floorboards and, you know, having your children wear those diapers that right. you can wash, but right. then they... You get peed all over when you're at Costco trying to, like, get your grapes.
Right.
Oh, well. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. So tell people again, I guess they can just Google or go to what website
again? relaxationbasedlifestyle.com. Okay. Or they can follow me on Instagram. Oh, there's my hubs. He's calling me.
How long have you guys been married?
We have been married... Oh, boy.
Oh, well, I shouldn't have asked you on the air.
6 years. relaxationbasedlifestyle.com or follow me on Instagram at @TheMichelleLang or at @B_A_RBL. So be a rebel.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle.
Of course. Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're full of information and inspiration, and we always love that on the show, you know. So
of course. Thank
of
you.
Of course. You're welcome back anytime. And people, pay attention to your kids, the swimming. I mean,
in the bathtub too.
Yeah, yes. You know, it's something you don't think about every day. But once summer comes along, you know, and people are around the water, you have to start thinking about that.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to be such a spaz to be. When I'm a mom.
Right. Ugh. And, you know.
I'm going to come Reiki heal you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And, she's got testimonials I'll show you afterwards.
If I ever become a mom.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you want to find out, tune in tomorrow and we'll find out if she's going to be a mom or not. All right, Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.